As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I mean, if this doesn't get you going for draft day, doubleheader day, Thursday.
Is this ABDF? Is that who this is playing this song right now?
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. Little ABDF, baby.
That's right. Generic 101, daddy.
Mm-hmm. From the Spectre collection.
Back in Brown is what they call that song. Yesterday, your quarterback had some things to say, and he talked about your wide receiver room.
I mean, obviously, everything looks great right now. I mean, getting the guys back healthy as far as Rashee and having Hollywood fully healthy and Xavier in year two, I think the offense has a chance to be really, really good. It's just about keeping building. I'm excited to kind of have these guys again just with we've had a lot of turnover in the receiving room, and it seems like the core group will be back in its entirety. So the goal is to try to build on it and get even better and try to get back to some of the explosive passing plays that we've done in years past.
Yeah, that's exactly what I told you yesterday was the goal this year, didn't I? Oh, we're going to get back to the high-flying aerial attack. And then the quarterback said it the same day. So we know where we're going. Up in the air, baby. Let's do it.
Woo. That does get me a little excited because I do want to see that explosive offense.
They're ready. I can tell you just from having conversations, they're ready. Like, everybody on that team is like, all right, enough of this. Let's go. Let's get back to 2018 and launch bombs away, man. Let's just start attacking downfield and doing what we used to do, you know, and having that kind of fun. And I think this offense is going to be electric this year, boogie, woogie, woogie, because we've got the last year of Travis Kelce, too. And I think he really wants to go out, you know, so Carrington can, you know, stop saying he's washed and things of that nature. I think Travis Kelce wants to have a huge year too, obviously. Who doesn't in their last year? And I think they want to have a huge year offensively for Travis Kelce. I think this is going to be a fun year, man. I'm excited about this. To have everybody healthy too, finally. You know, Hollywood Brown hopefully can stay healthy, and Rashee Rice can stay healthy, and Xavier Worthy's there now, and he can stay healthy, and Travis and whatever running back you're going to draft in the third round. Like, I'm really, really excited for what this offense can do, because I think there also is a bad taste from the Super Bowl, obviously, and just a bad taste over the last couple of years of people are saying that they're down. The goal is this year is to light up the scoreboard, and I think we're going to have some fun watching these guys this year.
I think your fantasy mind goes there because you think of like every receiver that he mentions, and you think of Patrick Mahomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you think, okay, Rashee Rice, you know, your yak guy over the middle, like he's the one that, you know, catches the 7-yard drag route and then takes it for 25. You think of Xavier Worthy as your over-the-top option. You think of Hollywood Brown that could be a hybrid in between both of those. I'm not saying that Hollywood Brown needs to be the guy that goes out there and, you know, hits a, you know, streak pattern down the field for a home run. He could if he wanted to, I think. But also he's kind of the hybrid of Rice and Worthy. And then you throw in a veteran like Travis Kelce, who has nothing to prove, but maybe something to prove in his last year in the NFL, per se.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you have your spearheaded running back duo that's just, you know, basically the nuts and bolts of your offense. They're the ones that get the tough yardage through the trenches. They're the ones that are going to keep the chains moving. And if you kind of, like, play April 25th draft day, offensive coordinator, you think that's maybe where this explosive offense comes, because you're like, okay, I can hand the ball off, you know, and get, you know, 2 or 3 yards here with Kareem Hunt or Isaiah Pacheco or whoever running back they may draft might have a minimal role in that as well. And then you think, okay, like, maybe teams will get tired of giving up that 3 and 4 yards and giving up, you know, the 5 yard first down play. Guys, you have to realize they have an offensive line to block too. We understand. Mm-hmm. But also, you think of your fantasy land, what it could be and what you hear him say and where the eagerness may kick in is that then it's like, okay, this kind of has that similar type of feel of offense that that 2018 team had, right? You had Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, and that sort of, you know, different dynamic in receiver. And now you're going to bring in Rashee Rice, who will probably be suspended, by the way.
I heard that. Yeah.
Xavier Worthy, who's got the speed out of this building. And then Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster still there as well.
Too, yeah.
Travis Kelce's there. And, you know, yeah, it's not like they have anything to prove. I know that's not what I'm trying to say, but I think they kind of want to get back to what made them electric and almost unstoppable. Now, they didn't have that great defense then. But again, who's to say they can't go out there and be that team this year that was like the Detroit Lions, winning games 45-9, you know, putting up a 50 piece in a couple of games. I would love it. It's obviously entertaining. You would love to see that. That would mean that you would have a lot of trends going towards MVP numbers, mm-hmm. towards Patrick Mahomes.
What would people complain about, though, from the offensive standpoint, if they did go out there and put up 40 points per game? Like, what would people bitch about?
Left tackle.
But how do we know left tackle is not going to be good? Like, you kind of, you know, snarkingly, you know, text lined it a little bit and said, they don't have an offensive line. They do have an offensive line. They've got a very good offensive line. They have a competition at left guard, which is good for everybody. They've got arguably the best center in the NFL. They got arguably the best right guard in the NFL. Juwan Taylor, say what you want about the guy. He's very good right tackle. Yep. He may show up a little early at times, but he's a very good right tackle. And you just went out and spent money on Jalen Moore to play left tackle. Like, I know they're not the household names maybe or whatever, and Joe Tooney was traded, and people think that there's no offensive line. But there very much is an offensive line here in Kansas City. And I think there is that goal. Like, this is Travis Kelce's senior year, right? He's got, I don't want to say he's got that senioritis because that's a bad term to use, but he wants to go out and make sure that Sandemus High remembered him, right? And so he's going to go out there and he's going to want to have a big year. Mahomes is going to want him to have a big year because this is their last run together. This is their last opportunity to show everybody and leave that final taste in their mouth of what the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce duo clearly was. And because of that, I still think they're going to have a big year. Like, there's so much riding, if you will, on this season from an offensive standpoint. They're ready to get back to where they were. They're ready to send Travis Kelce out a hero, and they're ready to go out there and put up points again like they were doing in 2018 and 2019.
Mm-hmm. Good text of what people might complain about, that they don't run the ball and or third and short is still our downfall.
Well, we know that. That's never, as long as Andy Reid's the head coach, third and short. I mean, that's just an issue with Andy Reid. And if that's the worst thing that we take away from this era of Chiefs football is that they couldn't convert third and one, that's probably what we're going to end up taking away from it.
Speaking of eras of the Chiefs football, there is the NFL draft tonight. Don't forget, tonight at the Landing in Liberty, starting at 6 p.m., we will be there. All in attendance, you have a chance at $965 cash prize. Make sure you fill out your draft sheet. Turn it in before the first pick is on the clock. One player per right drafted. If you get the right team, 3 points. You also have an opportunity to win a Juwan Taylor football or helmet signed by him as well. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll all be there hanging out, talking to you all, smashing chicken fingers and Big Bob's Bavarian pretzels, $9.65 as well. But eras of the draft and success rates of the NFL and draft picks.
It's not as good as people think, right? Like, everybody thinks you're going to load up, you know, get a first round draft pick, and this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. And so I went to Grok, not Gronk, but Grok, because that's what you use now with the AI stuff. And I typed in, you know, success rates of NFL draft picks just to kind of see what the information was. And for me, it was kind of surprising, quite frankly. About 53% of first round picks from 2011 to 2017 indicate a decent but unspectacular career. 31% of first round draft picks sign a second contract with their drafting team, suggesting a higher bust rate than expected. Picks 1 through 14 have an 80% success rate as a 3-year starter, dropping to 60% for picks 15 to 25 and 50% for picks 26 to 32 over the last 10 years or so. Around 40% of first round picks are considered busts. 60% hit rate for offensive linemen this generation of drafting in the first round. Running backs and centers, 60 to 70% hit rate. Quarterbacks have a 46% hit rate in the first round in this century. Wide receivers, about a 40% hit rate. Cornerbacks and edge rushers, about a 30 to 40% hit rate in the NFL. So essentially what you're looking at in the first round, 53% of players that are drafted in the first round get out of that kind of first contract and become decent players. You're not going to get a lot of great players in the first round of this draft. And that's what people seemingly fail to realize, is that people criticize first round picks all the time. Half of the first round picks that are going to be picked tonight are never going to amount to anything in the NFL.
Maybe I don't know, overlooking the number. I think almost 50% of, in 100 years, almost 50% of quarterbacks have not been busts. I feel like that's kind of nice. 46% was what are successful. Is that what that said?
46% hit rate from 2000 to 2019. 26 of 56 quarterbacks have been hits that have been drafted from the year 2000 to the year 2019. Less than 50%.
And this is defining a hit as someone who stayed
gets
in the NFL?
Gets their second contract.
Okay.
I would say it's
not, hey, we're not talking about a lot.
It's not a lot. That's not hard. Yeah. To do as a quarterback, that's a lot easier than other positions.
Yeah.
So the quarterbacks are not good. Like you have to be, that's why I go back, you have to be in that right situation. Patrick Mahomes isn't a superstar if he's drafted by any other team. He's a good quarterback in this league. Mm. He is not a superstar in this league. I promise you, he is not a superstar in this league. He wouldn't have had Alex Smith for that first year. He wouldn't have been with Andy Reid. If he was drafted by the Giants, he'd be on his third coach, getting ready to be on his fourth head coach. Quarterbacks do not have success in that era. Patrick Mahomes actually is the outlier more than the norm in all of this. The norm is that these guys fail. Patrick Mahomes is kind of the outlier in all of this. So defining success for you, Mac, a second contract, a starter for 2.5 to 3 years, and snap counts reaching 2/3 of the average snap percentage of their position's top 32 players.
Okay. Yeah, that's still...
It makes it even worse, quite honestly.
Yeah, seriously. A few years, and you play sometimes.
2.5 to 3 years is considered a good... Like, the average NFL career is 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Three and a half years.
So, according to that algorithm, Daniel Jones was a hit.
That's a hit?
Wow. Okay. I do think Mahomes would be a superstar outside of Kansas City. I don't think that he would have... Because does a superstar define as, like, talent or, like, success rate in championships? Like, I don't believe he has the championship success rate, but I don't think that, like, Andy Reid taught him his talent. I don't think that's it. I think he's used his talent to, like, explore his offensive, like, mindset, which has been each one, like, Andy Reid, who's to say Andy Reid's still in Kansas City if he doesn't have Patrick Mahomes?
Well, then he's probably retired by now.
Or
yeah,
he's
no question.
Back in the same situation he was at in Philadelphia.
Right. No, they're perfect for each other.
So, not only that, but I think if you, like, Jaden Daniels is a superstar. Like, in Washington, it took 1 year. He didn't win anything.
But the eye test tells you who superstars are. That's kind of, yeah.
Which I think you would have that for Mahomes if he was in Cleveland or New York or anywhere. I think he's just a winner and knows how to play the sport better than anybody else. Now, yes, Andy Reid has taught him that, and he didn't have Alex Smith. So there would be maybe not the early on crispiness that was Patrick Mahomes, but, like, I think if he was anywhere else, he would still have the talent and would make those plays because, you know, Andy Reid's not out there in that body doing that. That's just Mahomes. But again, having the players around him, having the system has been just an expedited shot to superstardom. Is he where he's at as a person now? No. Is he a superstar? I do believe so.
I also believe that Josh Allen and Joe Burrow probably would have Super Bowl championships if Mahomes wasn't drafted by Kansas City, because I don't think any other team would have dominated this era like the Chiefs have dominated. And it's all because of the relationship, if you will, but it's not just because of Mahomes or just because of Andy Reid. It's the perfect marriage, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is like you could not, like, other than
Belichick and Brady,
and then obviously he got rocky at the end, you know, and whatnot, and Brady had to leave, and Bill had to go find a 23-year-old. I don't feel like that's ever happening here. I think those two guys, Andy and Patrick, are just so in tune and on the same page and have the same goals, and everything's about the team. I don't think we're going to have that situation. But, you know, if he's drafted by somebody else, we don't see a dominant team right now. We've had three, I think, in my opinion anyway, head coach quarterback relationships that are better than you've ever seen. Obviously the Bill Belichick one, the Joe Montana one with Bill Walsh, and then obviously this one now with Andy Reid. The Joe Montana one ended kind of ugly in San Francisco. He ended up here. Obviously the Brady one ended pretty ugly in New England. I don't see this one ending ugly because I think, both of these guys have that same goal in mind. They're the same brain. They say the same things. They use the same cliches. They talk about the same stuff. Like, they are wired together. And I think that ultimately is what's going to keep this thing going, is that you have a head coach and a quarterback who are the best to ever do what they've ever done, and neither of them has an ego about it.
Yeah, I mean, two things. I would say that you talk about perfect for each other, but if they would be successful without each other. Brady went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl in his 40s, right? Or maybe not 40 when he won it, but close to it enough. And you could tell that, you know, something was better than the other. I'm not saying that Mahomes is better than Reed or Reed's better than Mahomes, but like, you can be successful outside of what you originally came up with and what you were branded as. But, you know, Brady obviously took a lot of what he knew, everything that he knew in New England, and took it over to Tampa Bay, and they, you know, he had a really good situation there as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, with quarterback head coach combination, I would put Lamar and Jim Harbaugh in there.
It's a good one. Yeah.
Or John Harbaugh, I'm sorry. Because, like, they've been together for a while. They've had success. Not the ultimate success.
Right.
But
Lamar has a championship if Mahomes isn't in Kansas City, too.
More than likely. I mean, maybe last year.
He's not the playoff performer that the other two are. Not yet.
Maybe 2 years ago, though, when they hosted that AFC championship game, they win that game and they get to the Super Bowl. I do think all three of those quarterbacks have a championship. At least Josh Allen has been to a Super Bowl. Whether or not he pees down a leg and loses to Mahomes if he was with an NFC team or something, you know, in the Super Bowl. But no, I think that the Mahomes pick has just changed the trajectory of everything in the NFL. It's created a league where, man, like, if Josh Allen gets one championship now, that should be enough to carry Josh Allen. But in the real world, like, that we always talk about, oh, you got to win two. You know, Peyton Manning didn't arrive till he got one with no neck, you know, and the defense carried him to a championship. You got to win two, right? We got to do all this kind of stuff and win double championships. But I think in this era, if Josh Allen were to win a Super Bowl, forget about it. His legacy is done. Like,
sealed.
You're a Hall of Famer, done, ready to go. You're considered one of the greats. You won a Super Bowl in an era that was owned by Patrick Mahomes.
In Buffalo.
I mean, because you could use the NBA analogy that I bet you would agree with this, that Clyde and Elijah Wan's legacy was sealed once they won that in Houston.
Once
they didn't get Jordan in their way and they could do their own thing,
yeah,
it was like, okay, there's the duo in Houston. They're set for life. Even though they'd already had accolades way before that, you're like, oh, yeah, Elijah, one of the best centers in basketball's history. Clyde the Glide, you got a nickname like that, you're definitely stapled in NBA history. Boom. Now it's good.
You can
go to bed and rest your head at night and be like, you know, I don't have to be like, you know, Isaiah Thomas, like, damn, man, Michael Jordan guy.
Standards are different for different athletes. So Mahomes has a different standard. Josh Allen would, you know, all these
Mahomes'
guys.
Standard is to beat Brady.
That's it, right? He will fail it unless he does that.
Well, in some people's eyes,
he will.
But I mean, like, that's the level that we've set for Patrick Mahomes. Got to pass Tom Brady. Came out of the gate hot, got to pass Tom Brady. For Josh Allen, you win one Super Bowl, man.
Oh, my gosh.
You're a conquering hero. You're a conquering. Nobody will remember Jim Kelly in Buffalo, right?
Look at Matthew Stafford. Sealed.
Done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't have to do anything else.
Yep.
Good. He won a title.
Yeah.
He got out of Detroit, won a Super Bowl.
And people forget about Matthew Stafford, too. Like, his legacy's pretty damn good.
Jalen Hurts, legacy, sealed.
Done.
Yeah.
Hey, he beat Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl.
Enjoy the rest of your career.
Yep.
Go have fun with it.
Different sport, but Kobe won 3 chips in a row, and people are like, can he do it without Shaq? Until he won again.
Without Shaq.
People are all right. Now
Powell.
Why do we keep moving the line on all of this stuff? Like, are we ever going to just sit down and go, all right, we're watching greatness, right? I sent you guys that topic yesterday that somebody's like, who is the undisputed great in their sport? And you immediately fired back Jordan, which is the end. That's the only one. I mean,
I'd say Gretzky. That'd be my answer.
Ovechkin would have a conversation with you now, too.
I don't think so.
I believe
the assist numbers makes that.
Yeah.
Like Bobby Hall, Gordie Howe, all the greats from back in the day. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see any of them play.
That's true. I
immediately almost said Tiger, but then I'm like, there's Jack. He never caught Jack.
He never caught Jack, but I mean.
Bron will never catch Jordan.
No.
Mahomes probably won't ever catch Brady.
Right.
And that's what it is.
And who's the greatest baseball player of all time? Because most people will tell you. Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player of all time.
Okay.
Shohei Ohtani.
And then we have the Shohei Ohtani conversation, right? Yeah. You have the Babe Ruth conversation. But so many people over the years will tell you Willie Mays is the best baseball player that they've ever seen play.
Barry Bonds.
Bonds could be in the conversation as well.
Seems like Shohei got that title really quick.
Real fast.
Real
when
fast.
You do things, when you do things like that,
yeah.
where you
yeah.
can win MVP, it. Cy Young, and do a 50-50 season and win a World Series, ain't done.
Yeah.
it's mean, over, man. Like, it's
what
like,
if he wins the Cy Young and MVP in the same season?
He's already almost done.
Do you think they would allow that? You think the baseball right? Because they're stodgy baseball writers.
It's not allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's never been done before, no, so it can't yeah. happen.
If he does, his nickname should just be the MVP. Because you won the MVP of pitching, the MVP, or Mr. like, I don't know. Unstoppable? I don't know.
I mean, I would love him to win the Cy Young and MVP in the same year. I think it would be the greatest thing we'd ever seen in sports.
What if he did this? And this is just where my mind went. What if he won the Triple Crown in pitching and batting?
Oh, my God.
yeah. Debate over? Because you can do that in pitching, right?
Yeah.
ERA, strikeouts, cool. and wins.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know how to do it in baseball. Average, homers, RBIs. Yeah.
He could literally, for the Dodgers will hold him back with wins, though. He needs to go to the Mets.
I mean, he could literally do that. That's the insane probability of Shohei.
I mean that is your that I mean if he did that and then didn't win the Cy Young and the MVP, who didn't vote for Shohei?